Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Monday, session one of the fifth WordPress Developer Camp. This is going to be a very, we're going to cover some similar things that we've done before, but it's going to be presented in a very different manner. One of the things that I've been working on for this dev camp is a not only trial and error, but I'm going to be showing you back end, front end. As we work in the code, you see exactly what happens. We're going to tweak something in the back. You see how it changes on the front end, so that a lot of us can walk away from this dev camp saying, all right, I understand the concept, but now because I see where it changes, I can go customize it for my own solution. So, all of you should have received an email yesterday, which basically was saying, hey, we have a web, if you're going to follow along with me, you can create a brand new website, brand new WordPress website. On the WordPress website, you can install the Voce theme, you can install things like Code Studio and Loop Studio, although most of the Loop Studio stuff is going to be tomorrow. I also mentioned about downloading a sample file that you can import using the WordPress run importer. And that just gives us a whole bunch of posts, pages, comments, custom fields, tags, categories, all that type of stuff. If you didn't get that email, please look in your spam folder to see if it was there. It went out to everybody who has an active membership here at WP Studio. So before we dive into this, let's quick take a look at our hub page. This is kind of our landing page for the week. You can see it's slightly different. The link is at our regular chat room that will take you to the fifth WordPress Dev Camp page. It is the exact same chat room. But on the right-hand side, you will have all the handouts, any other links that I need to give you. You can download them. This is a basically, as we're going, if you ask your question in the chat room and I'm following it and I'm able to answer it immediately, great. If for whatever reason a question pops up or you maybe want to ask the question in more of an anonymous way, you can enter here, by the way, using Form Studio. You can enter your question. It will send it to me. Then at the end of each day, kind of after I finish each session, I'll take any of those questions and I will answer them as anonymously as I can and place the question and the answer. I may have to recraft the question or answer if I need to protect any privacy. And I'll put them down here. So we'll have a running total of extra questions that pop in. Now, I also have a tools section here. Periodically, I'm going to have other links to other solutions, other tools, other resources that you may need to know for this. Now, the reason why I am sharing both Adminer and IceCoder, these are not tools that you would leave up on your server. These are not tools that you would simply just put up on your server and let it go. Now, some of them you could, IceCoder you could, because you are able to put up passwords and other user accounts and things like that, and you can lock it down so nobody can register after your first registration. We do have a webinar on IceCoder that you can see in the library if you want to do that. But the reason I'm doing these and showing you this, a number of you are creating a localhost install in which to follow along in our DevCamp items. So if you are in a localhost, some of you in your localhost and even some of your servers, you don't have access to a visual representation of the database. So that's where I can drop in the Adminer file, and we may get into this later. And basically, it's PHP MyAdmin on a single file. If you've never seen this type of stuff, I really enjoy using this plugin, because if I am sitting here working in a site and I have to quickly jump into the database and look at it, my server does not have PHP MyAdmin installed. Most of the time, I'll just do a command line structure or restructure or modify something in the database using the terminal or command line. But there are other times where I need the ability to log into the database and do things that would be more visually, like with the PHP MyAdmin. So since I don't have it on my server, I simply upload a single file to the account and I can connect directly to that database and use it. So I just put that out there. This is an amazing tool if you do work on a lockdown server or you do work on a local host that doesn't have really access. You don't leave it on there because basically if somebody can figure out your username and password and other things, they can get access to your database. But this is a tool that anybody who needs it, you can simply upload it through FTP. This is also, we may do another webinar just on this one, Adminer, as a straight file. I know we've done a webinar on the Adminer. It's called ReAdminer. It's a WordPress plugin. But how many of you here have clients that already have lockdown servers or the client has not given you anything access to other than FTP? If you have that type of client who has never given you true access, you can upload Adminer and now you can have access to the database, deal with the database work. As the same is true for IceCoder. We're going to be using this because it's easier for me to demonstrate and use a code editor because we're going to be going in and out of the theme. This is a simple folder. You upload and you get a full editor system right there in your browser. And so whether you're on localhost or you're on a remote computer or you're just not connected to your regular desktop computer for this dev camp, if you want to work with me through everything, you can use something like IceCoder and Adminer to upload. That's a side thing. That's why it's there in the chat room. But if you do upload it to a live server, when you're done with it, get rid of it. Those are just type of tools you don't leave on. You only put it on when you're working on it and then remove it. Because it doesn't really store data. It doesn't touch databases. It's basically single file type stuff. All right. So let's just set the stage for where we are, because today we're dealing with theme work. We're going to specifically be focusing on template hierarchy, getting a really good understanding of that. We're going to be dealing with action hooks and filters, because this is a way we're going to be able to interact with the front end of the website. And we're not going to really look about action hooks and filters for building plugins and stuff like that. We're mainly focused on the front end theme work. And then we do have to spend some time with the widget sidebars and menus, as well as how it fits in with the new block editor, all that type of stuff. And we'll probably do that after the first break. So where we are is I have a fresh WordPress website. This fresh WordPress website, I reset the thing. We have the Voce theme on here, and we do have Code Studio in here if we have to add some code, which we may or may not, but it's always a good idea to have it ready. And I have all the test data. It's an import file that's going to give us lots and lots of different types of content. So that's where we are. It's all about understanding how the backend theme, the concepts that are here in our, let me actually bring over here, in the themes folder, how does this affect what is seen over here? So our whole idea is by the end of this first session, this image, which I'll paste over here, is going to make perfect sense. How many of you have looked at this image before and it just, your brain melts? You reach for the duct tape and you're like, all right, that's not going to make sense to me. Maybe I can figure out one or two things or some of it. Don't worry. This will all make perfect sense by the end. So we're going to reach back and forth with this template as well, this template hierarchy idea. All right. So the concept of WordPress is that there is a theme. It's a folder of files. They're all PHP files. And they're having a conversation with the database of WordPress. That's the back end. Everything in WordPress is stored in a database. WordPress is not a flat file, which means when you write a blog post, it's just going to store the text that you wrote in a file. It's going to write the content into a file, and then like a flat file content management system will simply fetch that information from the already established file that's been written. So a database content management system says there is a structure to the database that is storing everything, and the theme has a query, which we'll deal with tomorrow, that pulls things out. But how in the world does WordPress know what to pull out at what time and where to put it and how to handle that? Because if we can answer that question, then we as the designer, the developer, the people building the sites for the clients can customize things to the nth degree. So the idea of a WordPress website is that there is a tiny little troll that sits on the server and is looking at every single person that comes and visits the website and is saying, this person is looking here, this person is looking here, this person is looking here at this location, this person is looking at a blog post, this person is looking at the store, this, and based on what that troll says, it's going to get specific things for display. But how many of you have ever gone to a website? And like the Black Friday thing is great. There are a number of e-commerce places that when you started looking through their website, they're like their regular product category, if one of those products was part of the Black Friday sale, like had a special sale attached to it, all of a sudden the display of the page looked different. Maybe there was a completely different background. Maybe they changed the location of where the pricing was, or the buy now, or the banner that went across that page. It was different than others. That is the premise of what template hierarchy is about. So I'm going to dive a little bit deep, and then we're going to come up and hopefully make sense of it all. For those of you who have never looked at what a WordPress theme looks like in terms of the actual code, what we are looking at here is the Voce 2.5 theme. Now, there's a reason why we're not looking at the Voce 1.9 version, and that's because the Voce 1.9 uses a little bit more of an advanced concept to display location and loop information. So the Voce 2.5 kind of goes back to more of the standard understanding of how WordPress works and uses the default type of things. So let me actually ask this question, because I know some of you during this call, during this webinar, I know your background, but others I am a little unfamiliar about. How many of you remember building straight HTML websites, either for yourself or your clients? Okay. Remember building just basic things. Well, every single one of those pages had a unique, like we had index.html, about.html, blah, blah, blah.html. they had individual file names. Well, WordPress and the way WordPress and a lot of modular systems work is we're not only are we going to break information up in terms of WordPress says, hey, there's a header here, there's a footer here. So every single one of our pages needs a footer, every single one of our pages needs a header. So therefore, we're only going to have one header. We're only going to have one footer, which is exactly as what Carrie was pointing out. If you are like me, you remember the days where all of a sudden somebody comes in from the workplace and says, hey, can we add this additional information or this slogan to our footer area? And what do we end up doing? We say, sure. We type it, we create it on one of the pages, then we copy, paste, open another file, copy or paste it to there, open another file, paste it to that one, open another file, paste it to that. It's just, and there was always one file that we missed. It just, that was how it was. Not once did we ever get the copy paste there. But the idea of, okay, we have a header, we have a footer. But it goes further than that. WordPress says we're not going to just modularize how we display the front end. We're not going to say, okay, we have a header area here, we have a footer area here, we have content, we have content. WordPress says, you know what? We also have different views. Things like, well, if I'm on the front page, that's one type of view that has a header, the content, the sidebar, the footer. Or I could be on a page that has a header, content, sidebar, and footer. Or I could be on a post that has the header, the content, the sidebar, and the footer. But notice how each one of these is slightly different. The post one actually has a comment section. The page one is completely different. Notice how the title, page title, is not included on this area. It's actually up here in the breadcrumb area. But if we jump back over to the post area, oh, look, it's simply the Hello World post, which is in a breadcrumb in the category, blah, 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 under the blog section, because it is a post and it looks different. We actually now have metadata showing up. And then also if we went back to the home page, oh, looks a little bit slightly different. It's displaying the content. Now, yes, it is true that what content is pulled out of the database is going to be talked about tomorrow with the query. But what you may not realize is that each one of those views basically has the exact same page fallback called index.php. The index.php for every single one of the posts, and I hope this is large enough font for everybody. I did try and make the font a little bit larger. You're going to see a combination in all WordPress themes of both HTML and PHP. So anytime you take a look at any WordPress theme, you're going to see both PHP and HTML on the exact same page. We're just opening and closing PHP, and then we have HTML wrappers that are putting stuff in there. Now, what I want to highlight is, and we'll dive into this a little bit more, there is something, a function called getTemplatePart, and we'll go into this a little bit more. This is just a brief overview before we dive into the hierarchy. So bear with me. I understand that this may be a little foggy right now. This getTemplatePart is going and fetching a specific template, actually it's a folder, template, content, blog, so it's getting this file and inserting it right here. But they're also going to be adding additional arguments. So if you've never seen that before, don't worry, we will go into it. All you need to know is the index file is referencing other files in the theme based on arguments. Like, okay, go get me the post format, or go get me this piece of content based on the view. If somebody is on the front end, go get me a specific file to put into this location. So even though a theme is going to have the exact same div class wrappers that go around the content, the div class wrappers that go, you know, that have the right, the same hooks, the same loop, which we'll deal with tomorrow, all of that is the same. It's just the theme itself changes. Now, how does the theme figure this out? So let's come over here. We're going to, let me just put it this way. Some people look at this WordPress template hierarchy graphic, and the only thing they really pay attention to is the stuff on the right, because that is what, these are the names of files that you might see in your theme folder. Like archive, single, page, index, 404. If we just jump over there, okay, here's 404, archive, index, page, single. See, all those things are there. But what we're going to start to do is take a look at the left-hand page, the left-hand side. So let's say a client or a visitor to our website, let's say we just wrote a new blog post, and we shared that blog post, we copied the link, and we shared it on Facebook or some social media, which means other people are clicking on that, and they're not going to our homepage. They are going to a deeper page called Hello World. So if they're going to Hello World, bear with me one second, WordPress needs to say and figure out the view, and it starts by over on the left-hand side. So WordPress itself goes through a logic step. It says, is this a search result page? Nope, it's not. Is this an error 404 page? It's not. Is this the blog post index page? No, it is not. Is this the site's front page? No, it's not. Is this a singular page? It is a singular page, and it can rule out that it's not an archive page. Well, how does it know that? How does it even figure that out? So it goes back to this area, permalink settings. Most people think of permalinks as simply a way to make the URLs pretty. But the permalinks do a lot more than that, because they're able to help WordPress diagnose what's going on and which page is being accessed. And then from that, it's able to extract data from the database. Like, for example, let's say I change the permalink to just simply post name. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And so now WordPress, every URL has now been updated. And if I run back over here, notice how this one used to be here. If I refresh it now, oh, sorry, page not found. Let's go to Hello World. There. This is the Hello World. So in the permalinks, in the htaccess file, which actually dictates how we rewrite the actual page identifying URL, this is stored, not, it's in the It is stored in the database because every post has a slug that goes with it. And it has a way to look up that slug. Actually, let's do this because this is going to be help. Do you guys want me to dive deep into where the slug is in the database and how it finds that? Is that going to be helpful for you? Okay, I think it will. I think it will. I'm going to pull over our. One second. I have to pull. Oh, let's go here. WP Dev Camp. Okay, let's grab here. So this is, I'm pulling up the adminer. And in order for me to do that, I'm just going to simply grab, remember, this is just a test website, so no need to copy any of this stuff down. I'm just going and grabbing the username and password of, oops, that's the database name. All of this is found in the WP config file. If you missed the information about how to set up a WP config file, I would encourage you to watch the links that I included in the last email. Okay, so this is a default WordPress database where we have everything from the users, users meta, blah, 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 post, post meta, options, Loop Studio makes its own thing, as well as Infinite WP makes its own items. So we're going to take a look at two areas. We're going to first take a look at the posts, and you're going to actually see we have everything from who the author of the post is, the date, the excerpt status, comment ping, blah, 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 post thing, post parent, GUI ID, and information. But what we're looking for is over here in the post meta data, because I want to show you, bear with me one second, I've got to go to some of the earliest items. Let me find the easier one. Oh, I'll just do this. Let's go back. We'll just search for slug. And let me drag this over. Okay, so see this GUI ID. Every single one of the posts that we enter, whether it is a custom post type, a page, or whatever, they all have... Oh, interesting. That's not what I... That's the GUI ID of the wrong location. That's of the import. Okay, that was not what I wanted to find. I'll pull this up. Hold on. Okay, here's our posts. We can actually see that there's a whole bunch of content here. So you can actually see the post content. And let me drag this over. So we have our post content. We have our post title, status, ping, post name. The post name is the slug of that's in there. So see that this is Hello World? That's what we're looking for. Hello World is the post slug. It's in the database. When we're in here and the permalink knows to look up the slug because we're simply looking for, let's go back to permalinks, post name, it knows that every single entry or the part of the URL that follows after your domain is going to be highlighted by post name. And because in this, basically it's happening in real time, WordPress, that that troll that sits there saying, hey, somebody's coming to our website and they're at this Hello World, go look up the database for whatever entry field equals Hello World. And when we know that, then we can say, all right, here's the information to extract out, and then the theme can display it. So this, that was a kind of a deeper hole to fall in. But that's what's happening. So if we understand that that's what's happening in terms of knowing how to fetch things out, we need to have a way to customize the look and feel of different elements, whether it's a page, it's a post, it's a single, it's a specific type of item. We need to do all of that in the theme. So let's go back over here. We can get rid of this. So here in our theme, everything is run through the index. So I could get rid of page, I could get rid of the 404, I could get rid of the archive, I could get rid of all of this. Actually, let's play break the theme. Everybody want to play that game? We're going to break the theme right now. Because I'm good at breaking things. Okay, so what we're going to do here, because I don't want to really break it, I am simply going to create a new folder, and then we'll name this folder Ben Broke It. Okay, so we have a new Ben Broke It file. I am going to put the single in Ben Broke It. Oops, hold on. Wait, now I really broke it because it's not. Hold on. Let me put that back. Cancel. It was opening up all sorts of folders that I did not want. Okay, let's close that. All right. There we are. I didn't want to have to scroll too far. Let's put this. Oops. No, let's not put it all in there. Let's put the single in the Ben Broke It. Maybe you will let me move it. There we are. So let's check and make sure it's in there. It didn't move it. All right. Have no fear. I'm gonna quickly move these things. I'll tell you exactly which one I moved, and then I will be able to demonstrate it, or I'll refresh. So I'm moving the single, I'm moving search, I'm moving page, I'm moving the archive and the 404 all up into Ben Broke It. Okay, so now I should be able to come over here. We'll hit refresh and let's take a look at our theme. Okay, so there. See, they're all gone. They're over here in Ben Broke It. Everybody understand what I just did? Now let's take a look at the front page. Why didn't it break it? Because, well, hey, we don't have the archive page, which is normally the listing of everything. Well, because the index is being used. Well, what about if I went over here and I typed in a name of a URL that I know doesn't exist? So it should give me a 404 error. It did. It didn't break. Why is that? What happened? Why didn't this show? Or let's go to the Hello World post. Well, look, it's still showing that. Sample page. Oh, but now look, there's something slightly different. Remember when I went to the sample page and it did not have a title, did not have a read more. It actually showed me the whole post. let's go back to that index. So in this index, basically inside the loop, which we'll learn about tomorrow, or if you don't know about the loop, just think about this. There's a main ID called with the class site main. Inside, it's saying, hey, go get me a template blog. That's what it's doing. It's saying, get me the template blog. Even though we are on the page, it is attempting to create a visual layout using the blog post, because that's what the index is saying. By default, we want to serve everything through the content blog. Now I'm just going to go over here. Let me pull this up. And here's what I'm going to do just so everybody sees what it that it is doing something. Let's go ahead and right at the top of the div of the article, I'm just going to say, hello all. So basically, all I've done is I've just put an H2 tag in there. If we run back to our site, we're going to see a hello all show up. Just so I'm trying to point out that, all right, here's where I'm in. The index.php file is saying, go get me that content blog file in the templates folder. And in the templates folder on the content blog, it's trying to display this. This is what template hierarchy is doing. Let's jump back over here. So again, we're on the Hello World post because yes, we are on a singular page. So that little troll that's sitting on our server is saying, oh, this is correct. So, this is correct. Now I need to know whether we're on a single post page or a static page, meaning am I on a post or a page? Well, I'm on a post. I'm on the Hello World because of understanding the permalink, understanding and tracing. Remember with the tracing back, we figured out through the permalink, let me drag this over, through the permalink, we figured out, let's just do that, that it is a published, keep going, post. It's a post type. So that troll sitting there is saying, all right, we're on a single post. Let's figure out what type of single post. Am I on an attachment page? No. Am I on a custom post type? No. I'm on a single post. Perfect. If I am on a single post and I have figured that out, the troll has figured it out, the troll then says, all right, I have a list of things I need to look for in the theme. And if I find one of those, the first one I find is what I will use to display the content. So follow it over. Now, this is actually a custom PHP. This deals with if you are writing your own queries into your own custom PHP. For almost every situation and almost every theme, this has nothing to do with what most template hierarchy is going to do. So keep going. So now, because I know we're on a blog post page, I want to find single post, single-post.php. If I can find a file that says single-post.php, that is what I am going to use to display the content. Are you ready to see things go crazy? All right, let's go back over here. I'm here in my theme, my Voce theme. And actually, I am going to do these in my child theme. So, even though I forgot to put that step in your email from yesterday, I'd encourage you to have a child theme. You can grab any of the child themes that are there in the toolbox. I tend to always use the blank child theme. Basically, there's nothing in there. It just has a screenshot, a single line of CSS, and default functions. So if I put the name of a file, that we see in this template hierarchy, if I put single-post.php in my child theme, that's going to work. Why? Because the way WordPress theming works, it will always look for a solution to display, and that's what I call it. It's this right-hand side is the solution to display the content. It always looks in the child theme first, and if it doesn't find it, it looks in the parent theme. So we're not going to go into, at least today, the rationales behind why you need a child theme and why this allows more flexibility. We will cover that. Let's see. We'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow. Because, again, tomorrow is the query and getting content and displaying content differently. So I'm going to create a single dash post in my child theme. So let's create a new file. And it's called single-post.php. There it is, single-post.php. And watch what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do, H2, holy moly, I broke it. That's it. We're not doing anything. So let's come back over here. I'm at my regular post. Great. That works. Sample page is still using the index. If I go to a single one, holy moly, I broke it. It is still using WordPress. We can jump into the inspector. We can see, it's all gone. What's going on? All we have is HTML. Well, because when that troll says, hey, you're on a blog post page, which means I need to see if you have a single dash post, I'm going to then deliver that. And if you have a single dash post that only has HTML, we've basically overwritten WordPress. Not so much overwritten, but we've tricked WordPress into simply displaying this file every single time we visit a single post. So let's come over here. That's a comment, but that's still a post. But if I go to a page, it's going to display that. Anytime I have a post, it's going to use this. So if we know that now we're using this page, let's step back slightly, and I'm going to remove this for now. So we've removed our holy moly, and we can actually see our site going back. It displays our content. Why? Because it falls back. See this? There was no single post. I did not find single. I did not find singular. So we are going to use the index.php to display whatever post ID that we got from the permalink. And that line of information in the database is extracted out using the query and displayed. All right. So why is this important? Because all of a sudden, I can say, well, what if we have a single.php? Sure, I have a single.php, and I'm going to put that back in because that's what I took out and put into the Ben Broke It. I'm going to grab and put back our single.php, and you're going to see, I'm going to refresh this, and you're going to see that in our Voce theme, we now have a single.php. And because there's now a single.php, when I go here, it's the homepage, great, and I go to the Hello World, we are using the single post. How do I know we are using that? If I open up the single.php, I put in a, right inside the main tag, I'll just do blah, blah. Refresh. I know I'm using that, blah, blah. And I go back over here to sample page. There's no blah, blah that shows up. Hello world. Okay, so I've got these type of information that all of a sudden we have a lot of, let's say, a lot of flexibility. Because let's say that sample page. So the troll is sitting there. Let's go back over here. Here's our sample page. Currently, it is using the index.php. Why? Because the troll cannot find anything, page slug, page ID, page singular. It can't find any of those on this path, this hierarchy path, until it gets to the index.php. So let's go ahead and put the page.php back. So I'm going to grab that and I'm going to drag that page.php back into the theme. We'll refresh just to make sure it's there. So I'm going back into my WP contents, my themes folder, Voce theme, and as long as we see the page.php, great. We can refresh and now it's displaying like the page. Well, that's great. But what if, because here's one page, here's another page. This is another page. But what if when we do a page of, I don't know, let's page A. What if that actually is a post. Let's go back to the sample page because everybody has sample pages on their WordPress websites. So what if we wanted to target this specific page over something else? Does anybody know what you would traditionally use if you wanted to style a single page, single WordPress page? There's an old school way of doing that, which we're not going to really deal with, and that is does this not have page template? Okay, so yes, Voce 2 does not have page templates on it. But you would have a page template that you could use. Basically, it would be in the page attributes. You'd be able to select a page template from a drop-down list that would select a file that specifically has code on. Anything that uses this page template is going to target this. But that can be not the greatest way to handle it, especially if clients are going to have access. I know that you're going to have client sites that this specific page is going to be super important. Maybe it has legal stuff. Maybe there's certain formatting. Maybe there are other things that need to be not so much hard-coded, because maybe you want them to be able to edit the content, but you don't want the display to change. So here's what's going to happen. In order for me to demonstrate how to target individual pages in your theme, we're going to come over here and I'm going to duplicate the page.php file. So let me close this. Yes. So I'm going to duplicate and it should simply just say page 2. And we're going to rename this. And I'm renaming it to, let's see, what do I want to rename it to? Page. well, since I know what the slug is, sample page.php. So basically, I can have the word page dash the slug. Let's open this. And instead of our post information, which is going to get the content, the page, see how there's a main ID here? Let's create a new div. And this div, we're just going to create a big border style, border 5 pixels. Solid red. Nice and ugly. And we'll make sure we go over here to the bottom. Let's see. Main. Okay, no, I want it inside the main. That's what I wanted. Basically, I'm just trying to close the div. Oops. All right. So if I save this sample page, when I refresh on our sample page, we have a red border. But when I go to about the test page, there is no red border. So now my sample page has things, it's being served by a single page in the theme, a single file in the theme. Because this file only will be used by page sample page. I could even do something like width 200 pixels, text align center. See if that really messes it up. So that page is put together by that specific template. So I can go through, and I'm going to pull up a single file that we can use. Because of template hierarchy, I can go through and I can say, all right, we could put a 404 page on our website. But if we don't have a custom 404 page and if somebody goes there, the index.php in the theme will be used. I can also go and say, you know what, if we don't have anything about custom post types, but all of a sudden we create a new custom post type with pods, or you create some type of thing, and you're wondering to yourself, why does my new custom post type display like everything else, even though I've got tons of additional fields and elements that need to be used? Well, it's because there's no indication in the theme that there is a different method of displaying the content. So for a custom post type, we have index.php, but maybe I can do a singular.php. Well, why can I do that? Jump back over to the template hierarchy. Here's my index. The singular.php will be displayed for every single attachment post, custom post type, blog post, and page. Singular can be used. So it becomes an in-between for every single entry, because again, there's no single entry for an archive. There's no single entry for the home, because all of the 404 search, these are already single entry, meaning there's not multiple 404 pages. There's not multiple home pages. There's not multiple search results pages. That's at least in WordPress by default. So singular takes care of that. But for a custom post type, I can get a little bit different than my regular posts, my attachment pages, my pages, by then styling a single.php. So if I create a single.php, jumping back over here, I now can control attachments, custom post types, and regular posts if I do a single. But because I want to target custom post types, I can come in here and say single, and let's say I have a book custom post type. Actually, if I do it properly, I will spell it properly. So now, any custom post type that is in the book custom post type, it will use this one. And we can keep going up and say, okay, if it's a single post in the book post type, and it has the slug of MobyDick.php. Now I can style the Moby Dick post in my custom post type, whether it's changing the way the style is done, changing the way the layout of the content, all of that can be done by having my own file. So, as I said, there is going to be homework assignments in this dev camp. And I am going to walk you through one of, not homework assignments. They're called homework challenges. And so one of the things I want you to do as part of the homework challenge, and I'm going to work it through partly here, I'm not going to build it for you, but I'm going to explain it for you so that I want to see if you guys can build it yourself. So here's the challenge, and it all deals with this template hierarchy and working inside a theme. So let's go over here. I think I have some media files. See how there's all these media files? Notice how there's an MP3. Notice how there's an image. And I'm going to also, I'm going to add the PDF that we just did for our, where'd it go? Second, I'm going to pull up my file thing. I'm going to grab the PDF for this day one. So I'm uploading this PDF file. In the WordPress world, these are MIME, not WordPress, in the internet world, each of these type of extensions is a MIME type, whether it is an image, whether it is a video, whether it is whatever. So within that statement of whether or not it is, I'm going to bring this over here. Basically, Wikipedia. Oh, no, go away. I don't want to. Okay. So these are MIME types. Whether we have CSS, HTML, JPEGs, GIFs, PDF, blah, blah, blah. All these type of things, these are common examples of MIME types, media types. WordPress has attachment pages. Why? So let's go to this media library. Let me click on this image. And you are going to, basically, if I view this, see how there's a view attachment page? There is a post format gallery, blah, blah, blah. There's an image. This is the title of the image and the image. Well, that's great, but it looks just the same as if I come over here to the PDF, view the attachment page. How is that helpful? It's just a link of this information. So this is your challenge, and I'm going to show it to you here, and then we're going to do a quick example. There is template hierarchy for MIME types, for attachment types. I think it's a pretty cool thing that basically once you build this for one of your clients, you may end up building this for all of your clients. So again, let's start with the index. By default, the attachment page, if there is no attachment file, again, see how there's index.php, singular, single. If there's no attachment.php, it's going to look for single.php, and then it's going to look for singular, and then it's going to look for the index. So it's going to look for the single.php. If there is nothing, we can then turn around and we can create an attachment. So let's create an attachment, and then we will simply go from there. Now, in order for me to keep modifying things, I don't think, there's no attachment page. So we're just going to duplicate one up. So I know we just put a single.php in there. See how there's a single.php. We're going to duplicate this. And let's change this to, rename this to attachment. Attachment.php. So see, here's our attachment.php. When we open up attachment.php, let's go ahead and change a few items. Again, it's looking for content, template content single. We can look over here and we can see that there is nothing about attachment stuff. Now I'm going to just show you in here. They do have items that the Voce theme already goes through and deals with different template parts based on other items. But I am going to just simply go in here and bear with me 1 second. I'll make it simpler. You can play around with this a lot more. So in this, basically before it goes and fetches the content, here's our content. Before it goes and fetches this information, again, it's using that blah, blah. Let's get rid of this. Let's go ahead and say, H2, this is a special media file. So that now our attachment pages attachments. Am I on the wrong page? Although the attachments didn't save yet. That's why there's that red arrow. Okay, let me get rid of the... For some reason, the diff merge was not allowing me to handle this. It didn't save when we changed the blah, blah. This is a special attachment page. Okay, now it's saved. And now we can go back here and we can see that this is a special attachment page. But that's great. We have an attachment page. That's the special. But I can go even further and we can do things like mime type.php. And that's where we go look at that Wikipedia article because we have mime types. Basically, the mime type that we are looking for is exactly what this shows up for. So if I create an application/PDF in here, I don't think I need just a straight PDF. We're gonna test it. I'm going to first duplicate attachment page. Duplicate this. And here's my attachment page. We're gonna rename this duplicated one where I can now say, because I'm not gonna use that, I'm going to simply have, I think it's application PDF. Here. And I believe, just make sure, this is a special PDF page. If not, we'll be able to just jump on over and just do type. I got it right. Sometimes when we get deep into this, I may or may not. Marianne, I'm not doing this in the child theme right now because I'm trying to simply duplicate really quickly. This is just a quick example of notice how, and then I'm trying to help you all in one of your challenge works before we take our first break. So let's back up because we need to go back to the media library. If I want to see just this image, this is a special attachment page. What are we using? We are using the attachment.php, the one that shows up, where did it go? Here. It's still in the template file. And yes, you would you would not do this in the templates folder of the child theme. You do it in the root folder. Everything that we're doing is in the root folder of the theme. The templates are simply the interior loop stuff, which we'll deal with tomorrow. That's why I'm trying to stay out of the templates area, but occasionally I just have to look something up. So this is the root area of the theme. You could do the exact, you could create these in the root thing of, you could create these same files that we're doing right now in the root folder of the child theme. But over here, this is an image. This is an image one, spectacles. I don't know why it's not showing. Oh, I know why. It's because it's not using an actual attachments page. So let's get rid of that one just for the purposes of that. I'm going to get rid of regular attachment, and you're going to see that, okay, our image showed using, what did it use? Go back over here. It's using the single because there was now no attachment. But because I created a application-PDF using the MIME type template, anytime somebody links to an attachment page that is a PDF, we can now display this. So why is this awesome? Because you can create a template file using this concept of, you know, working your way up the template hierarchy. You could create an application-pdf.php in your file, in your theme, that would auto embed any PDF that the client uploads. So now this may be jumping ahead for some of you who have never done loop work or working with the loop or the query. But basically, in our application PDF, this is a special PDF page, inside our loop, while have post the post, our content, we would simply be using an embed link for a PDF and then putting that content, the featured image, which is the attachment, in here. So if we were to actually dive into this content single, it's going to say, well, currently the content single is trying to say, if it is a single image, great. If it's not, we'll figure all that out. We're looking for single featured image. So basically, this is what it's getting. It's getting the post thumbnail or the attachment URL, setting it as the image URL. And then notice how we just have the image URL is inside a source code. So Ruana, this is one of the ways to do that. So if I were to come in here, watch what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go ahead and take this. I'm going to copy and paste. We're going to play around just before we leave. I'm not going to do a get template part. I'm simply going to have the instruction here. So I now have the attachment image source. And I'm going to we're just going to let's just echo out the image URL. Because I want you to see this. Let's go back here. Sorry, I'm talking to myself again. Echo image URL. So what should happen is this is going to echo out the URL, just so that you'll see that. We go back over here. Oh, it's in an array. So we'd have to figure out where it is in the array. We would get, that's the, there would be the URL for the PDF. And then once we figure that out, we can, again, we're about ready to take our break, so I'm not going to chase any more of that. But if you want to do this, what you're going to do is, A, find an embed code, and a lot of times Google Docs will allow you to use an embed code to display a PDF. Once you do that, we can create in our template file a way to auto-insert the proper URL into that embed code so that once we've got that, any PDF that a client uploads to the media library, they now can directly link to that attachment page and the PDF will be displayed in an embed form rather than a download. And it can all be done so that the client doesn't have to do any work. You create one template using this concept of a MIME type for an attachment page, and all of a sudden we can do the same thing for videos. What if they upload a video? What if they upload an audio file? We can change the display of the attachment page so that it becomes useful. Very rarely do any default themes out there have attachment page designs. But that is something that you that can set you apart in styling and designing default ways of showing different media types. All right, so we're going to take our first break here. And when we come back, we're going to be dealing with the Gutenberg, the block editor, for some of the other things it's doing with the theme, and then dive into some of the action hooks and filters. Again, any questions that pop up, you can feel free to pop them in here. If the rabbit trails we went on the template hierarchy were just way out there and you want a recap on something, ask your questions there. But the big challenge is to take this concept of template hierarchy, dive super deep, and see if you can display certain items from the media library differently. And for some of you, it's just the simple steps of let's try to put a different type of title on rather than trying to do the full embedded. I want you to see if you can literally get on whatever website you're doing, get a template file working so that different media elements are displayed with a different title or a different different way of doing that. All right, so we will be back here. Let's just take a 10-minute break. Actually, can we take a 6-minute break? 6-minute break. And then we will be back in 6 minutes. for the second part of today's session. I'm going to mute the mic and I'll be right back. Okay, we are back. So just a short little break. Allow me to refill the water, and we're going to completely make a change in direction now. You can read more about a lot of the template hierarchy and the fallbacks in the first few pages of the handout. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about the challenge, the homework challenge, at the end of this session. So all of this is a huge part of understanding the theme. And we will get into more of this tomorrow with the actual query, getting the data out. But understanding that in your theme, you can have multiple files that can be very focused. In fact, you could create a single file for every single one of your pages or views that might be out there. Anytime you need to custom create a page, or especially when we're talking about landing pages and other things, especially if you're worried about speed, rather than using a page builder to create whatever solution you're looking for, rather than create a page builder and do that, all you have to do is use a page template. You can completely change the way it looks and styles, whether or not you want information to come in or out. The idea is also, what happens if your server gets hammered with people trying to access your site? Well, if you know exactly which page, because you have good analytics where all the hammering is happening, without accessing the site, you can slide a single file into your theme that simply says we're under construction, or we're dealing with things right now. I know this is a bit of a side thing, but if you learn these little tricks, you might be able to extrapolate how you can create something unique for your clients. So what I'm pointing out is, remember when we talked, and again, we'll get to the Gutenberg stuff in just a moment. Remember when I said in our template hierarchy, sure, you've got your singular in here, .php, you've got your single for your blog post page, and I can even do single the slug. So let's say you shared the Hello World post and it was just getting hammered. Everybody was linking directly to that page. We could slide in a single file that says single Hello World.php into our theme. Then everybody is hitting that. And when I say slide in, I'm going to simply say, oh, we can simply create a file that says single dot dash hello world dot php, and we're going to just say we are experiencing server trouble. Check back soon. So I do that in my theme file. Let's go to the site. Guess what? The rest of my site is still working properly for people who want to access the site. But anybody who's coming to the, oops, did I not upload it into the proper place? Oh, I forgot to put post, single post, and then the slug. So we're going to rename this single post there. Hello World. See? The Hello World, we have now offloaded all the resources of people hitting our site, hitting our database, while all the people who are not coming through that massive amount of trouble still have the brilliant solution of, oh, they can go visit our site. They can read everything. They don't even know there's a problem. Everybody else who's causing the problem, We've basically disconnected them from the server, from the database calls, you know, the query, which we'll talk about tomorrow, all the queries into the database, pulling it out. Just a single template file can solve some of these overworked issues. So it's neat little tricks like that where you could, if you can, if you know where all the issues are coming from, pop this in there. The rest of your site will work fine because basically the only that post ID hello world is going to use this post template, this page template. It's little tricks like that. Hopefully that makes perfect sense to everybody. But we'll talk a little bit more about the challenge, which will get you all trying to work through the ideas. All right, let's go back to our site. Because creating page templates is one thing. Creating all the other elements, like your menus, your sidebar widgets, what goes in the sidebar, sure. It all is handled normally using WordPress menus, WordPress widgets, all this stuff. But that's about to change. I know most of us here probably do not use the block editor for lots and lots of content. It's kind of cool for little things, but the more you use it, the more you will run into crazy things like the fact that you can't even change the font size or color of a list item. It's not possible. But you can do it for other things. But in order for me to demonstrate something, I'm going to install a plugin, the Gutenberg plugin. I don't know if, do I have it on here? So if you're going to follow along, even though even though you're using Gutenberg, for example, I'm over here, Gutenberg is running, the block editor is running, and I do not have the plugin. In order to get the latest stuff that they're doing and trying to test out, we need to go add the Gutenberg plugin, because this is going to be part of our discussion on what is the future of the other aspects of our theme, because it really is going to change. So I'm going to go ahead and activate it. It's going to do nothing except open up an additional settings area. And what we want to do is, if you're following along, install that plugin, go to experiments, and you can turn on the new widget screen and something called full site editing. How many of you have installed this and have even looked at full site editing yet? Anybody? Or is this the first time you even heard of full site editing? Okay. Yes, there's a block directory search. That's just a good thing that they should have put in the beginning. So I'm not going to turn it on. I'm going to save the changes. So we'll take a look at the first thing. They've made some updates. But let's go back here. See, currently we do have our widgets. This is the way widgets are works. Where, yes, we drag our widget. We put our stuff in there. Each widget can sometimes have other options. But where they're going with the widgets is this. All your widget areas are in a singular editor window. There are no widgets to drag. Why? Because widgets themselves, or most of the widgets, are already incorporated or accessed by the block editor. So if I come over here, let me actually just let me remove this. I'm going to remove all these things from the primary block. Okay, so we have nothing here. Now your sidebar operates like a mini block editor, where we can open up our items and we can find our different things. We can also look through our different widgets. Now these are widgets that have been updated to the block editor, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But if I needed to put a list of posts, notice how it's already put those in. But it gets a little bit more complex because the old block editor, the old widget editor also states that, we have a post, we have a widget title. There is no widget title here. Why? Because if you really want to use a widget title, you will come in here and you will add a header tag and say, this is the widget title. And then we have our widget for the content, and we can choose to display the content, excerpt, change the number of words. And all of a sudden, we're seeing in real time how things are operating. And yes, we can filter how many we want to use. And just like that, we can see a visual of the widgets. Now, the big change here is the theme has to already set up your sidebars, which basically requires you to build your sidebars in the theme in PHP, and then everything that deals inside the sidebar has to be done in JavaScript. So we're basically reinventing the wheel on something that doesn't need to be reinvented. The only difference is we're getting a visual effect of the output, which there are other ways you can also do that. Now, we can also come in here, and as I said, this is one of the things they're working on. We have legacy widgets. Great. There are no widgets available. Where's my... No. But I knew I do have widgets. Okay, so that's the experimental part. If the widget isn't in JavaScript, you can't use it. The goal is to have it. I thought it actually was done yet. There's conversations it's done. Maybe it's not been pushed out to the latest released version of Gutenberg. But you will then be able to basically, in a drop-down box, select the widget you want to use and move on. Oh, you mean if you go over here to the widget, it's still here. So even if I grab a legacy widget that's custom HTML. Nope, that's... I don't think I have anything in here that is... Since we're just in a default area, I don't have anything we could do this. All right, I don't think we'll have any legacy stuff. Oh, well. I forgot to update. So that's another major issue. Most places in WordPress, if you try and leave a page, it will say, hey, wait, you forgot to load or save. Gutenberg says, screw you. You forgot to load. Do it again. Practice makes perfect. All right. So with this concept, this is where widgets are going. And this can cause some serious issues for what a client has access to, what you have access to. And I think what they're trying to fix it is basically saying, we are going to turn everything into a block. And that's what the full site editing is. You may have seen the screen. There are now templates and template parts. If you install Gutenberg and turn on the customization or turn on the experiments, templates are a blank slate. But it's not very helpful because it looks like a regular post screen. We call our template test. I can come in here and I'm supposed to basically just use this as an editor to do our blocks. So if I just simply grabbed a list one, two, blah, blah, blah. And if I publish this, let me publish it. Let's go back to our templates. Hopefully it's there. Here's our template test. So we have our slug. There is no method built yet that simply says, okay, we're going to put our piece into here. We're going to put our piece into there. Even a template part is exactly the same, has no indication. Everything is trying to say, this is the brilliant editor area. There's no way to put the pieces together. There's no way to say, all right, here's my header area. I want this to go on every single page. I want to do all these things. Now, the reason why I'm just showing you this, and I'm not trying to be too harsh about it. It's this. Everything we just talked about template hierarchy, is still going to be important years going forward. You may hear people on the new WP Tavern or other websites out there saying, oh, I just love Gutenberg and the block editor is the greatest thing. I'll never need another theme. I don't need to learn any PHP. Remember that the WordPress site, that's why we started this whole concept of there needs to be a way. Awesome. And Gutenberg has already broken everything. Hold on. Let me just check. They may have added this one little thing. Nope. See, there's no way to assign this template to something. All right, so in order for me to get back to the site, I have to turn the experimental Gutenberg off. Let me test one other thing, and I doubt it's going to work. One second, I'm going to try one other thing. No, widget settings, that's not going to be where it is. Nope. Okay, so it's not even over here in the customizer. So I will turn this off. Marianne, the idea is that you have a way of selecting a Gutenberg template to be used in a certain view, but that there is no way for Gutenberg yet to understand what the view is. Why? Because the view is actually determined, as I went through that whole thing, going through the PHP database query, understanding the post name, the slug, then identifying the actual view that it's on. So we can have another conversation about where does PHP run and where does JavaScript run? For the most part, JavaScript runs on the client side. It offloads the resources from the server to the client. The PHP is sitting there on the server. Well, if people are visiting our website, they are visiting our server. We want the heavy lifting to be done on the server so that they can query the database. They can figure out where they are, what the view is, what's going on. And so with this, our templates that we are creating are going to be able to show and customize what we want to do. Ben, yes, some of the newer themes are adding in some flexibility of choosing choosing those templates, those Gutenberg templates. But here's the other thing. How many of you are using the latest 2020 theme? How many people who work with client work are using that? Almost none. You go to any of the big things. They're using their own custom theme. They're using things. They're using Divi. They're using Beaver Builder. So if all of a sudden Gutenberg pushes out a whole thing that says, use this as a full site editor, it is going to break every single website that is not powered by block-powered themes. Because we just saw that, a block-powered Gutenberg is just going to say, I'm going to stand, and that's what was happening. The Gutenberg plugin was standing in the way of default template hierarchy. That, and again, people want to know where the future is with WordPress. That is where I think the line in the sand is going to be drawn. Template hierarchy is built into the core structure of WordPress. When we try and rip that out, it means we do not understand what WordPress is, what it does. If you want advanced customization, it's going to be in the templates that are based off of template hierarchy. The fallback is in there. That is a bit of a rabbit trail. I don't know if I even want to touch that. We are already seeing from the developer side. Yet template hierarchy will be able to avoid block problems because as I think the compromise that's going to happen is that there are going to be, let me actually pull this back over. What's going to happen is there are going to be most themes that move, and once they restore template hierarchy into how Gutenberg handles, which they will, there are going to be themes that basically have singular and maybe archive and index.php and single that now run with Gutenberg. So let's say you use Divi or something, or let's say you use StudioPress or Voce. If for whatever reason all of us decided all the block editors the way to go, and in our theme we ship with archive, single, singular, index, which uses this thing, You can override the developer by putting author, category, taxonomy, date.php, tag, and build your own section of your themes. That means we don't have to use the block issues. We can continue to simply pull a query and display it how we want it to. I guess my biggest thing is, how many of you with your clients allow your clients to access the full page builder, whether you use like Beaver Builder or Elementor or something else like that? No, we don't give them that access. We create a simple data entry point for them to put a post, a title, the content, whatever data needs to be entered, if we even let them do that. By understanding the template hierarchy and saying, hey, we can take any theme and we can go one level up and or one level into our child theme, and we can override what is happening in the parent theme. So really understanding how you can deal with the template hierarchy and how your child theme will overwrite that, even if in the coming years the theme that you use goes in a direction you don't want it to go. You can get all the updates and security and changes or whatever, but you can override it using your own template files in your child theme. Okay, that did cause us to go way into the... that was a rabbit trail I didn't mean to go into, but does that make sense of why template hierarchy I think is so important going forward? I think there are way too many problems with the block editor taking over everything, but yet there's still so much good in WordPress in terms of how the code is structured that I'm not ready to throw the bath out with the baby out with the bathwater. I feel there are ways like the template hierarchy that we can override things that the Gutenberg is forcing upon end users. So learning that. And that also brings us to the challenge. Because we don't have enough time to get into the action hooks for today. We'll use some of that in the query time and maybe on Friday as well. I have three challenges for you. The first challenge, I want you to take whatever theme you're using and using only a template file, find a way to display the Hello World post or any other default post in a different style than all other posts. This is in the last page of the handout. Wow, let me word wrap this. I hope it lets me word wrap. If you want to do it in the Voce theme, I can be able to help people afterwards. If you use a different theme, you may have to find your own way through it. But using only template files. The second one is, I want you to create a custom post type. Then style the output using only template files. And the third one is kind of where I started to push you. Display media files differently using MIME types in template files. So this is the type of homework that I want you to, and again, you may need to rewatch the first part of the webinar. You may need to go back to that WP Hierarchy website. I want you to push yourself to say, well, if I can't figure out how to do this one, Hello World Post, maybe I can simply copy the single. I would copy the single.php, and let me just add some words so that it shows up only on the Hello World post or some other post. Create a custom post type. Try and figure out, all right, if I have a post named book, post type named book, maybe use pods or something. Let me make the entire background green for books. Just put something out there that says, hey, I now know what's loading this specific page or this specific view on the front end. And if you can start doing that without using a page builder, because if you can, yes, page builders are great, but I want you to be able to do it without it if you had to. And yes, absolutely. You can use pods to use the custom post type. Once it's created, great. So something like this, you would use single dash book would be how you display every single one of the book post types. And then doing what we started doing, anything that's uploaded, try and figure out a way to display JPEGs as circles, PNGs as squares. And I'd love to get any feedback or, hey, I was able to do the hello post, but I completely lost it in the media file stuff. Challenge yourself, because if you can master this type of thing, you can get back to styling things. You can use things beyond just page builders. And you will find something amazing. If you don't use a page builder, your site will go faster. Faster means better SEO. Now, I use page builders. I need to use page builders because I'm a single person trying to keep up to date on or keep updating multiple sites. That's fine. But if you have a site for a client where you're not needing to update things all the time, why is a page builder being used? If you have a good answer for it, great. If you don't have a good answer and it's simply because it's easier, well, that's still a good answer, but is it possible with just a little extra work, you will increase the speed of a website because you now understand page templates and how we can style each one slightly different? And then all of a sudden, we're going to get better SEO for our clients because they're going to be faster websites. All right. I know I've been glancing on the things about how certain content is pulled into the site. That's all about tomorrow. So we are going to be dealing with the query tomorrow. And I'm going to work on the new version of Loop Studio. And I'm also going to show you another way of creating the query using a tool called Conductor. Marianne, if you have the time to try and style custom post type output for single and archive, absolutely. Of simply going in here and, all right, so if I'm looking at archive, here's archive-book.php, and I'm looking for single book.php. And if you really want to get crazy, Why not see if you can actually serve them in a grid format? And again, you can use just old HTML concepts. You could just create a div and then float everything. I'm not looking for finished thing. I'm just looking that you feel more comfortable knowing, all right, these are the pages that serve up the content. All right, so we're going to wrap up today. I will be off and on Slack, so if you have questions, like you're doing these homework assignments, these challenges, and you're able to get it, let me know. You get stuck in a certain area, let me know. I'll be working on some of the handout for tomorrow today. You should also receive an email probably in about an hour with, okay, so here's the three things that you'll need to install before tomorrow. And I didn't think that the template hierarchy would take most of this session, but we ran down a few rabbit trails, and I hope it helped to kind of really hammer home the template hierarchy. So take care. I'll see you all tomorrow. Again, if you have additional questions and you don't want to use Slack, you can also jump it in right here in your questions, and then I will follow up. The handout, again, remember, is here. Make sure you're at the right chat room. Handout one. And then any of the questions that come in, I will pop them down here with the answers. So take care, and I will get this replay uploaded as soon as it finishes processing from Zoom. And then we will get started for the next session tomorrow. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. I'll be in Slack if you have any questions.